This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
G'day, mates.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, and as you can probably tell from my little pseudo-accent, I'm just back from Australia with Dan from the Global Atheist Conference in Melbourne. Sitting among 4,000 other non-believers, we believe it was the largest Free Thought Atheist event anywhere in history in the world. In terms of sit-down, I'm not talking about the Reason Rally, but in terms of a conference.
And you didn't tell us your name yet. You just said, g'day,
yes,
mates.
Well, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And who are you, Dan?
I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves.
And we're honored to be on the program at the Global Atheist Conference. They just called it GAC, with Dawkins, Dennett, Harris, a whole roster of people around the world and in Australia.
Ayaan Hirsi Ali.
Ayaan Hirsi Ali. There were people from 40 countries. Most of them, probably about two or 3,000, were Australian. We met many eager students and wonderful Australian folk.
And a lot of our members and a lot of listeners to Free Thought Radio were there.
And
it was an incredible experience.
So congratulations to it was put on by the Atheist Foundation of Australia, their second global meeting in 2 years. And David Nichols is the
President,
and there was his 12 apostles, we're calling them, the 12 planners. These are all volunteers. The whole thing was volunteer. And then they had another, I think, 12 or 20. They were like brownies or elves working in the crowd, helping make sure everything was smooth.
Well, it was smooth. It was like clockwork. And it was such an exciting experience to be in that huge convention center in one room with 4,000 happy, smiling, cheering atheists. It was an amazing event.
And Dan, you also spoke in Manila.
Well, the following week, that's right, I went from Sydney up to Manila, Philippines, and spoke for their very first National Atheist Conference. It was put on by PATAS, which I think means equality in Filipino, something like that, the Filipino Atheist and Agnostic Society, in cooperation with the Filipino Freethinkers. The two different groups got together to put on this first ever in a country that is dominated by the Catholic Church.
And there were, what, 160 participants at
that? About 160, some international.
Which is pretty good for the Philippines.
And some of them flew up from different islands, from Cebu and from other parts of the country. So it was really exciting to see all these free-thinking Filipinos wanting to fight back against the power of religion that is really ruined their country. Right now, there's a reproductive health bill, similar to what's happening here in the U.S., that's being debated and just about to pass.
To allow liberalized contraceptive laws.
And exactly.
The heavy hand of the Catholic Church looks like may not be signed, but we're waiting
to
see.
Well, the president apparently wants to, but there's a lot of pressure against it.
And this, the Catholic Church would like to see all women everywhere, third world women. They'd like to see all of us, like the women in the Philippines, barefoot and pregnant and teeming poverty and teeming overpopulation. And we'll talk a little bit more about the threat here in this country.
I got to tell you, they need birth control there. We drove by the trash city where these poor people with 12, 15 kids are living in, just picking out of trash outside of Manila. And they really do need access to women's health care in that country.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I guess we forgot to say that. And we have 18,000 members nationwide, the largest Free Thought Association in North America, working very hard to preserve the constitutional wall of separation between church and state.
And this show is broadcasting from Madison, Wisconsin. And of course, and we broadcast in other cities and we podcast all throughout the universe.
This is the weekend of April 28th, 2012.
And by the way, did you know our very first show was April 29th, 2006, which means that this show completes 6 full years of Free Thought Radio.
And also, by the way, this weekend marks the Free Thought Festival here in Madison, Wisconsin. So there's been a whole lot of Free Thought activity going on, conferences, and it's going on right now, today and tomorrow, hosted by the Student Club Atheists, Humanists, and Agnostics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I think they're expecting about 400 people. I'll be speaking later today, this afternoon, at the Humanities Building, along with one of my very favorite champions of the First Amendment, Ellery Shemp, flying in from Boston. He took the Supreme Court challenge that ended Bible reading in public schools. There'll be bloggers like P.Z. Myers and Hemet Mehta. FFRF's constitutional consultant, Andrew Seidel, will be talking, and there'll be many others and lots of students, so see you there.
On the second half of today's show, we'll be interviewing the author of Why I Left the Amish. It's a memoir that tells of fleeing strict religious community in search of a life of love and learning. The author is Saloma Miller Furlong. She was featured on PBS American Experience. She'll be speaking in Madison at the Sequoia Public Library on May the 8th, and we'll be talking with her later in today's show.
Now, we talked a little bit about Australia, not very much. I have to brag that we saw four koalas in the wild, didn't we, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
One, you got a little movie of one of them eating eucalyptus.
The eucalyptus leaves.
And I saw a wallaby by the roadside, and I saw roadkill kangaroo, which I guess is very common. They're like deer in Australia. We saw parrots and cockatoos, and we saw
the penguins,
and that was thanks to Shelley Siegel. And if you remember that name, we played her beautiful, haunting atheist song, I Don't Believe in Fairies, a couple of weeks ago, and she opened the Reason Rally last month in D.C., and she is an up-and-coming Australian songstress, a singer and songwriter, and she lives in Melbourne, and she had made this lovely offer to take us to see the penguins in Phillips Island, which is quite a jaunt from
Melbourne. It's at least an hour and a half down there.
And you have to go, you see them at dusk and evening, and we had an amazing time with Shelley, an amazing time watching the penguins, trying to see them come in off the surf. Now, these are warm ocean penguins. I don't quite understand that, but they're little and they look blue. They're about a foot tall, and it was the cutest thing, wasn't it?
And they're waddling in, and they have to waddle for about 2 kilometers
to go to their burrows at night.
We got to watch them as they kind of stood shivering in the cold.
Well, Dan, you got to work with Shelley.
Well, that was a real honor. Monday night following the GAC, Shelley invited me to be a part of the release party for her new album called An Atheist Album, right there in a pub in Melbourne. And it was packed with her friends and her family and a lot of just people that showed up. It was fun walking in, seeing the sign, An Atheist Album, Shelley Siegel and Dan Barker. And Simon Taylor was also the comedian there. And that was really an amazing experience to be able to accompany her on a few standards. And then she played
songs from her album includes I Don't Believe in Fairies as well. We hope there'll be time at the end of the show to play her very powerful song called Saved. Now, while we were away in beautiful Australia, FFRF made a lot of news around the country and the world.
And we'll try to get hold of the national TV interview that interviewed me in Australia. We're having some trouble with the rights, but it was their daily news show called The Project. So maybe next week. I was also featured in the newspaper called The Age. It's Australia's daily Melbourne newspaper, which also mentioned the Clergy Project. And as you know, I'm a former minister, and this Clergy Project, which is a year old now, has more than 214 former and active clergy who are now non-believers in the supernatural. Most of us are atheists and agnostics.
But the point of the Clergy Project is to
help them get out of
the fold. And this is really your brainchild with Richard Dawkins
and Daniel Dennett.
And Daniel Dennett talked about the Clergy Project in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Now, we want to include enough of this international stuff. We want to include updates on domestic actions. First, we're very pleased to report that a town in Alabama has done the right thing. After receiving a complaint from FFRF staff attorney Patrick Elliott, DeKalb County Town of Sylvania agreed to remove 4 Bible-quoting roadside welcome signs. These are city signs saying welcome to the town.
It says, Sylvania welcomes you. And then the signs quote Ephesians 4:15, which is out of the New Testament. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And they included the name of the town's mayor, Mitchell Dendy. They were slated to come down last Monday.
And in another victory, the school board in Lenoir City, Tennessee, went to a moment of silence before meetings. They dropped the Christian prayers following a strong letter from our senior staff attorney, Rebecca Markert. And that's an important victory because students often have to appear before school boards. And of course, the precedent is so clear on no school prayer. So when a school board is praying to Jesus, what a message that sends. So congratulations, Rebecca.
Now, you might remember that just before Easter this year, the Freedom From Religion Foundation placed a banner in a park in a small town called Streeter, Illinois. We had complained first about a nativity scene put up by a resident left for weeks in that public park. Then we learned the same person was putting up three crosses and a sign that says, "Jesus died for your sins," just in time for Easter. The city insisted that this park is a public forum and anyone could put up signs there.
So we placed a pretty yellow and blue sign saying, "Nobody died for our sins. Jesus Christ is a myth."
Nobody died for our sins. Well, that banner lasted about a day. It was stolen almost immediately, which, by the way, is a hate crime. That's a felony for which we offered an award. We were in Australia at the time.
We offered a reward, you mean?
an award, a reward, that's right.
Yeah, we don't want to award it.
We want to give them an award for their theft. We were in Australia when that happened, but Patrick Elliott, our attorney on the staff, and our other trusted staff moved very fast, and they got another banner, a replacement made, to replace a stolen banner, and this time with the phrase added, "P.S., thou shalt not steal."
Now, we don't have a whole lot of time, so let's go to our new This Is What an Atheist Looks Like PR campaign. We mentioned it on a previous show, but it debuted in Nashville. And here is News Channel 5 out of Nashville covering FFRF's new billboard.
A new billboard alongside Interstate 40 in Nashville will no doubt catch the attention of drivers. It's hot pink for one thing, and also features the picture of an atheist. New at 10, News Channel 5's Chris Cannon sat down tonight to talk with a woman whose face appears on the billboard.
And Kristen, the group Freedom From Religion Foundation put up this billboard. They hope that it sends a message to people who see it, a message many people around here just don't understand.
They are always there and you most likely never notice them. Symbols of religion come in different shapes and sizes. But along Interstate 40 in Nashville, you can't help but notice something that's the complete opposite of a religious symbol. It's a billboard for atheists.
That's the whole point of being out, so I decided to just put myself out there and have it out.
This 23-year-old college student in Clarksville is Grace. She's the face of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's new ad campaign.
It wasn't something that I just jumped at. I did question it because of the safety issue that I had.
When Grace came out as an atheist in Clarksville, she dealt with death threats and hate messages and face-to-face confrontations.
They just want nothing to do with you, or they just think you're damned and you're damned to hell, and they'll let you know that.
So this one-time Catholic thought a billboard could be the way to change minds about atheists.
Made me think, well, maybe atheists are just regular people. Maybe they're not immoral beings, you know. Maybe they're just my neighbor.
It's a tough sell living in the buckle of the nation's Bible Belt. This youth pastor doesn't judge, but he also doesn't agree with Grace.
You know, we should always reach out in love to those that maybe don't believe the way that we do, you know. But I, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no man can go to the Father except through Jesus.
The symbols of religion are easy to spot, but the face of an atheist is not as simple to see unless you're driving Interstate 40 in Nashville.
Grace moved to Clarksville 3 years ago because her husband, who is also an atheist, is in the Army. The Freedom From Religion Foundation held a billboard competition, and Grace's slogan was chosen.
Now, we have to say that Grace is very beautiful. Not all atheists look like Grace.
Amazing, but, Grace.
Yes. But we thank her for winning our contest and being willing to go public in Nashville, Tennessee. She's doing a lot of good PR work.
So stay tuned. We have a lot more news and action to report. FFRF is making tidal waves practically in the state of Rhode Island again over a Christian cross next to a fire station in the city of Woonsocket. We're getting a lot of hate mail and calls over that complaint, and we're hoping to have a victory. Stay tuned for that and our interview with a woman who left the Amish religion.
I'm Abby. I'm from Maine, and I love Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-directors of the nonprofit, no-profit nonprofit, Freedom from Religion Foundation, a tax-exempt educational charity with membership, and we hope you'll join us at ffrf.org.
So what's going on in Rhode Island?
Well, we are creating a tidal wave practically in that state over our very rational complaint about a huge memorial with a cross by a fire station in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. And I think we have what coverage from, what's the station? ABC 6 News out of Rhode Island.
Live from Providence, this is ABC 6 News at 11.
Good evening, I'm Karen Myers.
And good evening, thank you for joining us tonight. I'm John DeLuca. An atheist group based in another state is demanding that a religious-themed memorial be removed from publicly owned property. ABC 6 reporter James Wurzman joins us now live with more on the letter that started all of this and reaction from folks in Woonsocket. James.
John, the memorial in front of Woonsocket's number 2 fire station has stood since 1921 and honors the service and memory of 4 Woonsocket veterans who died in 2 world wars. For Debbie Flitman and members of the Freedom from Religion Foundation, this is simple. A cross can't be on public property.
It's illegal. And just because it's been there for 90-something years doesn't make it right.
A woman who lives in Woonsocket but has not been identified was offended by the memorial and contacted an atheist group based in Wisconsin. That contact led the Freedom from Religion Foundation to send this complaint letter to Mayor Fontaine, asking that the cross be removed from the memorial.
If they want to have a religious symbol, we'll go ahead, but just not on city property.
The request is not sitting well with many in Woonsocket.
We're angry that we're broke, and now this group gets in and wants to disturb the hornet's nest. Bring it on, because we're looking for someone to take it out on.
Especially veterans, who feel that removing the cross would be an insult to the 4 servicemen it honors. They believe the request to remove it is ridiculous, even if the cross's presence on public land is illegal.
This is just an attack. It's a terrible attack. It's sort of another form of terrorism is what I think it is, you know?
You don't know whether to be angry that these people even exist, or do you feel bad because they have nothing else better to do? I think it's sickening at this point.
This request to remove the cross comes just months after the Cranston prayer banner controversy was settled. And some power players in the state fear that cases involving separation of church and state like this one will now become more and more routine.
Where is it going to stop? I mean, this is just the beginning.
The city is still weighing its options. Several veterans groups have come forward to say they will definitely fight to keep the memorial intact where it is. And if it is forced off public property, the same veterans groups say that they'd love to have it displayed on their own property. Reporting live, I'm James Swersman, ABC 6 News.
Oh, you know, that we are getting hateful calls. I'm beginning to wonder about people in Rhode Island. There's very venomous Roman Catholicism,
I guess. They were referring to the Cranston, which was Jessica Alquist's
yes,
thing.
Yes, they're still angry with this teenager, and it's kind of frightening. But where will
noticed?
It stop? It's going to stop at the establishment, when the Establishment Clause of the Constitution is enforced. This is our first complaint since a year ago in Rhode Island, where a national group and have taken lawsuits and 500 or 600 complaints last year, one on Rhode Island,
yeah.
And they're being persecuted. You know,
and have you noticed that this is the second time we have been called terrorists for complaining about a cross on public property?
Yes, they're just like the Bible Belt. This is that
guy down in Wattville, Tennessee, you know, called us terrorists.
Yes, the mayor, not yeah. just the guy, the mayor called us terrorists, and we're this is not terrorism. Also, it's not insulting the servicemen who are being honored. Let them be honored, but a cross does not honor all servicemen and women. There are many atheists in foxholes. There are Jews. There are Muslims. There are Wiccans. There are a number of non-Christians in our military. What a dishonor to them to say that a cross somehow covers them. And why would this be up in a fire station? And as I was pointing out to some media, this is sending a message like, maybe if I have a Jewish surname, they're not going to help me. I mean, there should be no fear in contacting your police that or, and fire that they're going to help you.
So Debbie Flitman was right. If you're going to do it, either put it, the cross on private property or on public property, honor the servicemen without a religious symbol.
So what's coming up, Dan?
Well, we're going to be speaking with the author of a book called Why I Left the Amish. This should be an interesting conversation.
Yes, we've never had a former Amish person interviewed on the show before, so we're going to learn a lot.
Her name is Saloma Miller Furlong.
She has a new book. It's a memoir about fleeing the strict religious community and searching for a life of love and learning.
And this is a little bit of Shelley Siegel's music from her Atheist album playing in the background. And later in the show, we're going to listen to one of the songs called Saved from Shelley Siegel's album. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have on the phone with us Saloma Miller Furlong. She has a new book. I understand it's just out from Michigan State University Press, Why I Left the Amish. And this is a memoir telling of fleeing her strict religious community in search of a life of love and learning. You may have seen Saloma Furlong recently on PBS American Experience. She grew up in an Amish community in Ohio and walked away 24 years ago and has now written a memoir about why. So we're going to find out. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It is my pleasure.
Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you grew up?
Well, I grew up in Geauga County, Ohio, which is now the fourth largest Amish community that there is, and it's in that little northeast corner of Ohio. I grew up in a family of seven children. I was the third oldest, and there were five girls and two boys.
Wow.
Since then, since I left, all four of my sisters left.
Good for them.
Hmm.
Yeah, right. And my two brothers stayed.
Now,
it is probably the most unusual, of all of the families in Geauga County. I don't know of any other family in which all the women left and the men stayed.
There must be a smartness gene among the females in your family.
Well, they saw your younger sisters. Maybe you paved the way for them.
Well, I don't know that that's the case. At least one sister has said that me leaving was actually a deterrent for her to leave because she saw how difficult it was on my parents.
Now, you write about having a dysfunctional family. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I basically grew up with a father who was mentally ill. When I was small, he pretty much was depressed and would sit on his rocking chair and refuse to go do the farm chores, and he would even talk to people who were not in the room.
Mm.
Later, as each of us developed minds of our own, he then started to become violent, intermittently with being depressed. So that was one problem. Another one was that my mother was very frustrated for having to take on the responsibility of being both parents to the seven of us. And so she actually lashed out at us quite often. And so a whipping from my mother was pretty brutal, too.
Mm.
I thought religion was supposed to improve people's family lives.
Well, not always. Sometimes it can be, depending on how religion is used, it can also be used to abuse somebody. And, you know, in this case, it was just a human thing of her being frustrated.
So did you guys, you lived the simple life. You wore the bonnets and the simple dresses and all that.
Yes.
Like we understand and picture Amish.
Yeah.
Now, you also, I think there was a problem with an older brother.
Yes. Now, Joe was abusive in every way. He was actually, he played mind games with us, he brutalized us physically, and there was also sexual abuse.
Well, so I'm very sorry.
Go ahead.
I said I was very sorry.
I was actually more afraid of him when I was growing up than I was of my parents.
So, I think was what got you going? What got you? I mean, I can see why you'd want to run away, but that was that's a huge thing in the Amish community.
It is a big step. When I was 20 years old, I felt that my life had literally become unbearable, and I started thinking in this way: I am more afraid of my life as it is than I am of the unknown. Why don't I just leave? And I also got to the point where I realized, you know, because when Amish children are growing up, they are taught that because they were born Amish, they need to stay Amish because God wants them to. And if we didn't, then all hope of our salvation would be lost. And so when I was getting ready to leave, I literally came down to these two things. I can either commit suicide or I can leave the Amish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought to myself, well, if I commit suicide, I'm certainly going to go to hell. And if I leave the Amish, according to the Amish rules, if I leave, I'll also go to hell. But wait a minute, I'll have this whole lifetime before I have to go to hell. And I started thinking that way. And then I thought, and what if the preachers are wrong? And so I basically after that, after I faced that worst fear, I was able to make plans to leave, and I was at that time 20 years old.
And I think you turned to what the Amish call an English neighbor. What does that mean?
English is somebody who, the Amish in my community had several terms for somebody who is not Amish. And in this case, an English neighbor would be somebody who's not Amish.
So I understand somebody helped you, gave you some money maybe, helped you in a way?
No, I actually saved my money. She did give me a little bit of money, but most of my money that I used to run away with had been saved up over the last 4 or 5 years before I left. Because I was cleaning houses for people, but I had to save my own money, I had to give my money to my parents, and I was not able to save it myself. But the people who I was working for, cleaning houses and such, were English people, and they knew that I was not allowed to keep my own money. So at my birthday and at Christmas time, they gave me extra money, which I then put into a bank account, with the idea that someday, if I need it, it's there.
How long ago was that when you left?
When I left, it was 1977.
Oh, so 20-some years, 30-some years, right?
24.
Yeah, 34. Oh. It'll be 34 years in November.
Oh, wow. 34 years.
So has life been hell since that time?
Oh, no. No, not at all. I have. There were some years when I was really struggling because of all the way my husband puts it is, your Amish past was right behind you. And so I sought counseling and went through some really intense counseling for like 3 years and then off and on for another two more. And it wasn't until I went through that I was able to look at the world with a lot more of a positive attitude.
Now, you graduated from Smith College. Congratulations.
Yes.
That was recently in May 2007.
Yes.
A major in German studies, that makes sense, a minor in philosophy, and then you had an internship with an Amish expert at Elizabethtown, is that right?
Yes.
So, I mean, you've come a long way, but now your book, of course, goes into far more detail than we have time to, but I know you talk about some of these difficult aspects, the shunning and this running around.
Yeah.
And the way they treated, you know, when you have a mentally ill person, the way they shame, like your father,
yes,
did not get,
yes,
help. You want to talk, we have only a minute or two left, but.
Yes, basically they tried to shame my father out of his, out of what they thought was lazy. because of the lack of education, many of the Amish do not understand that there are sometimes a psychological basis for some of the deviant behavior. They think that it can all be taken care of in the church. And that only made my father worse, because making a public confession in front of everybody actually helped the cycle, because then he was forgiven, and then he had a clean slate, and then he did it again.
Sounds like the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Or it could have been neurological, too. He could have had a real disease there.
Well, he did. As it turns out, after I left, he got medication, and he was actually no longer violent for the last 25 years of his life.
And besides the shunning, now this running around, how do you pronounce that in the...
Rumspringa.
What does that mean?
It basically means that it's a time for young people to date and find a marriage partner. As soon as the young people get married, then their Rumspringa years are over. And in my home community, that did not mean that you got a chance to go out and taste of the world and decide whether you wanted to be a part of the Amish or not. It was always expected that we would join the church.
But the Rumspringa, there was you said there was this centuries-old practice called bed courtship.
Yes.
Daughters brought young men home and went to bed with them.
Yes.
I guess that's a way of keeping people in the fold, huh? They catch you when you're young and then you're stuck.
Well, you know, I didn't see it that way until after I left. And I think you're right that there... Now, let me also say this. Not all Amish communities practice bed courtship. The one I grew up in was still practicing when I was growing up. But other communities have started up since then, and some others never did practice this. So it's only some of them that do.
But I want to make time to make sure that we can announce how people in Madison, Wisconsin can hear you talk. We are talking with Saloma Miller Furlong about, when did your book come out?
It came out actually in January of 2011.
Okay. And it's called Why I Left the Amish. It's Michigan State University Press, $20 paper. And you've been on a PBS American Experience. When was that?
That was actually, it aired on February 28th of this year, 2012. And it actually will air again. I don't have a date for that yet, but it's airing in different stations across the country. People can go to American Experience website and see when it will be airing in their area, and they can also view it online. The whole thing can be streamed.
And you're speaking in Madison, Wisconsin at the Sequoia Public Library. That's on the west side. Is it Tuesday, May 8th?
Yes, it is.
And do you have the time?
I believe that one is at 7.
And it's a free lecture. And
you know, I'm not sure about the timing. It might have been 6:30.
I
don't have the calendar in front of me.
One of the librarians contacted me, and that's how we found out about you, and I'm so glad
excellent.
She did.
Excellent.
And in a minute or so, what would you tell Americans about the Amish religion?
Well, I would say the Amish are like anyone else, that good and evil exist in their community just like it does everywhere. And not to put the Amish as a whole on a pedestal and think of them as being some kind of utopia, their culture, because it's not. There's a lot that goes on in the Amish community that people never realize.
Well, particularly for women. I mean,
especially for women.
And doesn't your education end in the eighth grade?
Yes, it does.
So you
that is one that I think if I could change one thing about the Amish culture, it would be that they educate their children beyond the eighth grade, because I think so much would come out of that.
You have a remarkable journey that from an eighth grade education, a penniless girl at 20, to graduate from Smith and have a successful
life.
That
all started with a GED.
GED. So, we are very pleased to have met you, to have you on the show.
And thank you.
Hope to see you on May 8th.
Sounds good. And thank you so much.
Thank you. So again, we were interviewing and talking with
Saloma Miller Furlong, and her book is called Why I Left the Amish. A memoir tells of fleeing strict religious community in search of a life of love and learning.
And we'll be back to play Saved with Shelley Segal on the last part of our show. Stay tuned.
My name is Kathy Groves. I am from the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts, town called Savoy, and I am an atheist, and it's a breath of fresh air to be able to say that.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We just got done interviewing Saloma Miller Furlong, Why I Left the Amish. And now what's coming up, Dan?
Now we're going to listen to another song by Shelley Siegel. We played a song of hers last month called I Don't Believe in Fairies. Shelley is a young Australian singer, songwriter.
As we mentioned.
I think she's 25 now or 24. And she came to our banquet that we had the night before the Reason Rally in Washington, D.C., and performed for us. And we didn't know it at the time, but that was her debut performance in the United States
of
America.
But her bigger one was the next day, opening the Reason Rally.
Yeah, but we got to hear her first in the United States.
And this is, we want to play a song from her new album called An Atheist Album.
It's an atheist album, and the song is called Saved, and she has a real edge to her music, and her family is Jewish, and they're believing Jews, but they're very tolerant, and just at the Global Atheist Conference last week, she invited her mother, and her mother said, yeah, me too, I don't believe either. So her
and
mother,
her brother was there, who's very
so
charming.
So they came to the conference, too.
We met her father, who's still observant, but accompanies her on the violin.
On the violin.
Very supportive.
And, this
and she
is,
was all over the papers.
So this is one of her songs off the Atheist album. It's called An Atheist Album by Shelley Siegel. The song is called Saved.
Say that I need to be saved. Say with me the devil got his way. Say I need to hear the truth. The sales pitch of eternal life and eternal youth. All these blessings you are bestowing upon the one you say is all knowing. Or are they really deserved if he's sending me where you say I am going? So you I wonder
That's Shelley Siegel. You can find her at her website, Shelley spelled with an E, and Siegel, S-E-G-A-L. You can order that song from an Atheist album. She is very talented, and her boyfriend was also accompanying her on this. You got to accompany her.
And her dad, album. Danny.
Very charming family, very, very talented, and we were pleased to work with her. Now, you can look for me and other free thinkers at the Humanities Building in Madison, Wisconsin. It's going on now. It's going to be going on this afternoon, the Free Thought Festival, and Sunday I'll be on the panel at the end of the day with Ellery Shemp. And what about you, Dan?
And so are you ready for the National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday of May?
We are not ready for it.
Every year. Well, this year, if you live in North Carolina, in Raleigh, the Freethinkers there, the Triangle Freethought Association Society, has planned not a day of prayer, but a day of reason.
And you'll be joining
I'll be
them?
There at this on the Capitol steps in Raleigh, North Carolina. So, well, we want to thank our guests. We also want to thank Dave McCann again for engineering and Buzz Kemper. This show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Find out more about this show at ffrf.org/radio.
Sign up for the podcast. Look for more information about us at ffrf.org. Join us. Become a member. Support us. Help us. Litigate, broadcast, educate. You can also call 1-800-335-4021. We still have sample issues of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, for the April issue, full of pictures of the Reason Rally. And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.